The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Claypo, segment two here. Birthday's the day of the weekend. Man, I am just not into the weekend. I know the kids are. I know how he's famous. That's fine. Just don't. His music does nothing for me.
Not bad, right? Not bad. It's just nothing for
no,
you.
No, I mean, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
When he was at Super Bowl, I didn't give a rat's ass. Yeah. And I really didn't care about Rihanna.
Oh.
The whole finger thing was kind of like, come on, can we stop?
No, but I like Rihanna. Come on, you don't like Rihanna? Oh, I love Rihanna.
I know this is old school.
Yeah, you're gonna. Okay.
But if AC/DC played at halftime in the Super Bowl, I think it'd be the best halftime show they've
ever had. But they can't play every year.
Huh?
I mean, you gotta mix it up. Not everybody loves, not just the same way. Not everybody loves AC/DC.
Well, I know, but not everyone likes Rihanna either.
Well, that's right. So each year there's
last 2 or 3 years has been all hip hop.
Yeah.
Been all rap and hip hop for the last 3 years.
Well, Rihanna's not rap.
The Who kind of ruined it though, because when The Who played the Super Bowl,
it was really bad.
A lot of people was really bad. Maybe that's why. But Bruce Springsteen's done it. Tom Petty's done it. Okay, well, they were great shows.
Rihanna's done it.
We'll mix it up a little bit.
Okay, next year.
All right, then. Ice-T turned 65. Sonny Bono.
Jeez, wait, hang on. Stop.
Ice-T is one of those dudes, man, where I still see him and I'm like, how the hell does that guy got a job? Seriously. I mean, I know his music's great.
Right.
But he's a terrible actor. I mean, it's horrible. And then now he's doing his Car Shield commercials. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's like.
But he's found his thing.
He has found his thing and he has created this brand and people think that it's cool and he's doing commercials. He's 65. Sonny Bono's another guy. This is God. He is dead. He would have been 88 today. But this is God's work because.
Yeah,
Sonny Bono was a nothing. He's a lousy singer. He's a goofy looking dude. He ends up getting married to Cher when she's 12 or whatever it is.
Oh, first of all, how do you swing that? Like, what was that all about?
It was a father thing. She fell in love with the kids, the father.
He was so. I mean, his voice.
They ended up having one of the most successful TV shows in the 70s. Well, I'm like, how is
and
that?
And then
possible?
He was a congressman.
I know.
Yeah.
He would have been 88. John McEnroe, 64. You know who John's married to?
Who?
Patti Smyth.
Yes. I knew that. Forgot.
Yeah. She was actually asked to be the lead singer of Van Halen.
Oh, that's right. I knew
before that. They hired Sammy Hagar.
I thought Pat Benatar was.
No. Patti Smyth. And she was going to do it. John was all on the way out of tennis.
Yeah.
And they wanted to start a family. And she decided, I don't
know. God, that would have been. Can you imagine the trajectory? I mean, I don't mean better or worse, just how different Van Halen would have been.
I think it would have been killer. Not as good as Sammy.
Wait, do we have any? Do we have any bands?
With women singers, no. Not like bands with a woman singer. It just doesn't happen.
I don't know why.
But there's something about having an all male band because they can write music about finish what you started. They can sing about Unchained. You know what I'm saying? And with a female. It's just different.
I want Miley to join one of those bands.
The
Foo Fighters.
She doesn't need to. She's already singing everyone else's shit anyway. James Ingram would have been 71 today. God, I love me some James Ingram. Jim Cantore would mention he was 59. All right. So this Rockwell Welch thing. Growing up, I wasn't a Farrah Fawcett guy. I was a Rockwell Welch guy.
Oh, were you?
And she was a little before my time.
That's what I was going to say, because you ain't that old.
And I remember The Fantastic Voyage. I've never seen that movie. Mm-hmm. Of course, in that movie, she had like 3 words, I think she said in it. She was in the fur bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have something to do with the fact that my dad liked Rockwell Welch.
I was going to say,
because
that's...
Because she was before my time. Yeah. But I always, whenever I was looking for a woman to explain the highest or most iconic sex symbol that I could think of, Rockwell Welch was that woman.
Yep.
And now she dies at the age of 82. And I don't really care.
Well, because she.
I mean, I care, but I don't. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like a. We're not going to talk about Rockwell Welch tomorrow. It's over.
You know, it wasn't.
Which
a
is
headline.
Really kind of like.
I know. I was going through. I mean, well, we got.
It
a lot
wasn't even a headline.
Well, we got a lot going on in the world. In entertainment, it was. In the entertainment section, it was. But we got a lot going on.
Well,
we got a lot of going.
It was a story, and what did they post the story? Her picture of her hands
of
over
her face. Of course.
So it's great. It's great. Aesthetically pleasing. It was great to see on
the but I think also, too, I mean, you think about the news cycle. I mean, look what we have going on in Turkey and Syria. I mean, and even if you want to say, even if, I'm going to say this. If you want to talk about clickbait, they're finding survivors. They did a whole headline last night on a man who had been in their week drinking his own urine to survive. Yep. So, I mean, if you're going to do headline stuff, there's a lot more headline stuff than Raquel Welch dying. And generationally, I mean, this is us being old. I mean, if you think about it, you said it was your dad's kind of generation.
Yeah.
Well, our fathers are past. Or many of our fathers are past. Our fathers are Raquel Welch's age and older.
She was at one point, she, of course, was in movies with Dean Martin,
yep.
Sinatra, all Jimmy Stewart, all the big ones.
Yep.
And she didn't have, like, an illustrious movie career.
No.
She was in a lot of movies and did bit parts and stuff. She was in Bedazzled. Remember, mm-hmm. She was in Bedazzled. But she was asked a question back, I think it was late 60s, early 70s, by Dick Clark on American Bandstand, I think it was, and he asked her the question, did you feel the need to pose in a bathing suit in order to be famous?
Mm.
And she said, if you got it,
want it?
You might as well use it to your advantage.
Different time.
And I look good, and I feel good, and I'm beautiful, so why not use my body and my image to further my career? And she did.
By the way, just a side note, because I was driving over here today,
the
Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Yes, they're in town this weekend.
How can they, like, what is that? Glenn Miller's 145. He's dead.
I know.
I heard it. I was like, is it the Glenn Miller, like, you know, what do they call them? Cover band?
Well, the Platters are still around. Someone buys the name.
Okay.
So I mean, Leonard Skinner's only got one member, but it's still Leonard Skinner.
Okay. So it is Glenn Miller band, just, literally, it's the great-grandchildren of Grand.
Yeah, each time one dies off, they bring in another violinist or whatever, and another flutist.
I was going to check with you.
But as long as you buy the name,
okay.
Like the Platters are still around.
Okay. You should buy a name of a band. Sorry. And then you just keep filling them in.
If you could buy the name of a band and start your own band with it and play all their hits and know it was going to be pretty good, who would it be?
I mean, my first instant thing maybe we're talking is Van Halen, just because it's cool. Like, I would just want to own Van Halen.
Well, and you could probably go out and handpick some pieces to make that happen
because
there's some people still all play.
Yeah.
The Glenn Miller band's playing this weekend.
Don't miss it. Is this BJCC?
it could be. All right, so... I was telling this friend of mine yesterday about, and I know a lot of us have gone through a lot with the pandemic, and we rethought things, and we're working from home, and we changed jobs, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. So I had a friend of mine to reach out, and has really been trying to do something for a long period of time with Stias Radio, and doesn't feel like he's making an impact,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't know if he's moving the needle, mm-hmm. is looking for that immediate response. Just because you can do a good show doesn't mean you can just call a radio station and say, hey, I want to do a show on your radio station.
We're
living proof they won't do that. And we're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And they'll sell you time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super expensive.
Yes.
And then they won't let you keep the money you make doing that show. So it's kind of like, what am I doing? And
you get to be on the radio.
Back in the old days, if you had a good show, they would bring you on and pay you.
Yeah,
because they knew you were going to bring your rate. And so,
So
I started using some examples, and I said, you know, you really have to ask yourself, why are you doing what you do?
You should have been a psychologist.
And, I love it, and I think I have good content,
yeah.
and I'm very good at what I do, and I've been doing it for a long period of time. And I said, you are spot on. You're amazing. That's why I'd love to do a show with you. And I said, you know, the 2 days after Cheap Trick played live at Budokan, there were 18,000 people there in Japan. And they showed up. They were like, are we the only act tonight, or is there somebody playing after us? They did. They were like, why are all these people here?
Yes.
And they were screaming, and that's, you know, I want you to want me. And then 3 days later, they played the Iowa State Fair. I've told the story in front of like three people, and there was pouring down rain. There were slick pigs running through the crowd. And they're like, okay, wow, talk about being humbled.
Yeah.
You know, Damon Johnson.
Yeah.
He's played with Thin Lizzy. He's played with John Waite. He's played with Alice Cooper for 10 years. In Europe, they were huge. He played in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And all of a sudden, he's like, I don't want to be on the road anymore. I want to go do my own thing.
Yep.
And so he creates his own brand, his Damon Johnson brand. And he starts playing local gigs.
Yep.
He's playing work, playing, doing things like that. And he's trying to figure out how to, and he's obviously got a brand and people know who he is. And then he's just out there every single night giving it the best he's got. And then next thing you know, Leonard Skinner calls him, and he's the lead guitarist for Leonard Skinner. And then the Brother Kane thing. You know, so it's hard work, pushing forward. Mm-hmm. Good things will happen. Be faithful to your craft, to your art. If you know you got a good product and good content, keep pushing. Good things will happen. It will happen in some aspect. Soul Carnival, mm-hmm. who did our show open for the Curry and Claypaw show. They're playing some gig up in Nashville or something a few weeks ago. And Tim, who is a good friend of mine, who manages the band, his son plays drums, Braxton. They're playing some gig, and there's nobody there, and you know, they play the Nick, they play all these places, and they're just trying to make their imprint on the music world. And some guy comes up to Tim after the show and says, you know, I have this band, and I really like that drummer. And he's like, well, that's my son.
Oh.
He's like, we would love for him to play in our band, and the band is Hotel California. Well, that's the only cover band for the Eagles that Don Henley endorses. Wow. They play 250 dates a year. Wow. They're huge. They are the Eagles. You want to talk about buying names? They are the Eagles. They're the only band that Don Henley says, you guys can play all of our music, you're good. We love you.
Why does he do that? Did they get the Eagles get a piece of that?
I don't know if they get a piece of it or not. And the Eagles are still touring, but
that's what I mean.
They're not going to tour forever. And so, huge break. You know, and he gets to play with Soul Carnival, and he gets to do that.
He's going to do that, yeah.
And the most amazing thing, which I didn't realize until Christine McVie died, was Fleetwood Mac didn't have a top 40 hit until their 11th album.
Yep. That's what you told me? Yeah.
Think about that. 11
albums. Yeah, but oh my God, there's a hole, man. We got a thing here.
And then it just blew up. Yeah, sometimes it's just not your time. Sometimes your content's too early. Sometimes your window's not there. It just doesn't line up right. But you keep pushing through, and next thing you know, you're bigger than life.
Be careful.
Yeah, you got to be careful. But it's one of those things where, and so I was telling this friend of mine, you know, when we first got on the air here, I remember the first day we were on there, we had three listeners.
Right, and for you...
And I was like
for you, I don't know, I am your friend, and I am a psychologist.
Yeah.
For you to be able to navigate that, it is. It's the same as, you know, Damon Johnson going from 100,000 people in a stadium, 90,000 people to four people in a thing. Like, you, I remember that, and I remember looking at you and thinking, how's he going to deal with this?
Yeah.
Because you literally had come off of everybody.
I was on ESPN. I was on 834 radio stations at the same time.
Right.
Every time I opened my mouth, you know, in jocks, I was talking to 35,000 people.
That's right.
I was on stage in front of 60,000 people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're sitting down, you're creating this thing, and you're hoping people find you, and there's three people.
Yep.
And you got to do it for a period of time, and you have to hopefully see growth, and we have.
Yes.
And here we are into our fourth year. My point is... Sometimes it's just not your time. It's a God plan for me, and it's one of those things where I know that if we're on here just mucking it up and doing nothing that's insightful, we're on Fox 6, so obviously we're doing something right there.
Yeah.
We're doing all these different things, and you just have to continue to push forward. I used to have a friend of mine that was a solo singer, and he would go to a bar or a nightclub to play, and if it was raining and there was nobody there, he wouldn't play. I'm like, dude, first of all, you're getting paid. You need to play. Or he would play short sets. He'd play for 15, 20 minutes, and he'd go to the bar, and then come back up. I said, you got it. You don't ever know.
That's right. You've always said that.
To your show.
You've always said that.
If there's three people in the audience, one of those people may be the one that's going to give you the
book. But I think but also have the...
Well, I'll say this.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to commit, go all in.
Yes, yes.
If you're going to say, okay, I'm doing this until... I either run out of money, it peters out, or someone says I suck.
That last statement was
then
so...
Then commit,
that's okay.
Everything you got.
Yes, but that last statement is the most important.
Yeah.
Because I see this in business all the time. You're in. You've put tons of time in. You've put tons of resources, a lot of money in. Mm-hmm. And now you're in this weird psychological place because... It's called cognitive dissonance. You can't get, your brain won't let you say, I need to stop because I've put all this in.
You got a lot of equity, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem with that...
Because it feels like it's a waste of time.
That's exactly. The problem with that is, in many cases, that's when you need to step out. When the signs are there, don't be afraid to say, this one didn't work, I'm going to try something else. Because I see more people just trying to hammer through. And what you said was, what did you say, until you run out of money, something, and people tell you you suck.
Yeah.
Well, when people tell you you suck, or your product sucks, or we're not interested in it, don't get so defensive that you say, well, but I believe in it.
Yeah.
Just because you declare that you believe in it does not mean that it's going to work.
Sure.
And that's a really hard thing to figure out, you know, because of what you just said. Am I giving up too early? Have I not put enough time in it? Or maybe it is time to, we did a whole segment on this, to hang it up.
And we're talking about this not only because of my friend, but also because right now more people are starting businesses. Everyone's starting businesses.
Well, and
everyone's got a business. I had a friend of mine last night. He's starting this this business where he takes care of people's homes when they're out of town.
That's good.
Feeds their dogs. He'll paint your walls. He'll do their landscaping.
Oh, he
does it all.
That's a great idea.
He says to me, "Do you know anyone that can market this?" I'm like, who the hell are you talking to, you dumbass? I said, "I'm right here." I said, "This is what I do. I market businesses, and I do it really well."
That's a great idea. Now, that's a great idea. Fixing your drywall.
It's too broad. He's a roustabout.
Think about it.
But he's always sold cars at his house. I mean, this guy. I applaud that idea. I applaud him because he keeps trying things.
Well,
And I love that. I love people that are constantly always trying different things. Because I just the motivation they have.
Tell him, give me a call. I could use that. Yeah. I mean, think about that. Think about
that. We've already talked to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, man, I'm here for you. The first thing I told him to do is set up a Facebook page. I said, if you're looking for people, I said, there are so many people that just do. I mean, we don't have websites anymore. Just look, go to my Facebook page. I mean, schools do it. Go to our Facebook page. Schools don't have websites. Go to our Facebook page. That's where you can find all our stuff, because Facebook is probably, of all the social medias, that is the best social media to reach out to the community and let them know what you're doing.
And Instagram, because Instagram, the reason of the Instagram too,
yeah.
And both of those are where you, and they're owned by the, but you, it, you can sell your wares there, which is really good. By the way, you know, Deer Chronicles has its own store.
Oh my God.
I sell merch.
I saw you sold 4 things so far.
Yes.
I saw it, yeah.
It was about 2 people.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the other thing. Technology has allowed us to essentially create businesses and advertise them for little to no investment.
Yeah.
Which I think is, it's sort of like social media and YouTube. No barrier to entry. But the market is completely flooded.
It is.
And there's a lot of crap and there's a lot of good. Because you don't have to get over any hurdles to get in. The problem is then you arrive at the party and nobody wants to talk to you.
Yeah, and you find out there's 55 other people doing the same thing.
That's right. Let's take a break, so I wanna find out who.
All right, so yesterday I talked about the day after Valentine's
Day.
We always talk about Valentine's Day. Up to that point, good morning to you, Margaret Bailey. We talked to that point. We're up to Valentine's Day. What should I do? She says she doesn't want anything. We don't do anything on Valentine's Day.
Right.
It's just it's all hooey. It's just a marketing ploy to sell crap. Blah 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 blah. So I did a little market research on Valentine's Day, and then I tried to convey that while I bled from the face yesterday on Facebook Live, and I didn't do a very good job of that. So I need a psychologist here, because really the day after Christmas, the day after your anniversary, the day after that birthday, the day after Valentine's Day, is the day where you can really sit down and go, okay, how'd that go? Do I want to feel this way again in 363 days? And that will coincide with my daughter's 10-year-old question.
Okay.
We'll do it next right here on Curry and Claypo. Check us out. We have podcasts. You can listen to hundreds of Curry and Claypo podcasts. They're all 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can listen to them wherever you want. And we'll be on Fox 6 this morning talking about
trust,
spying, and surveilling. It's the Chinese balloon angle. Do you have a Chinese balloon hanging above your wife's bed at night or following her at work?
And have you sanctioned them?
Have you sang? Mm. Have you sang? Or has she sanctioned you? Once she shot the balloon down, did she sanction you? Do you have to share your password with everybody that you're with?
Why do you need to see my password?
Thank you very much. We'll get into it next right here. Back in 1 minute.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.